Wow, aren't we blessed? Oh, Kevin, thank you. John, wow. Awesome. So, as human beings traversing this physical planet, you know, health is an important part of our experience. And yet oftentimes what we end up doing is we see the outer circumstances and we feel our body is the only thing that's a part of needing healing at times, and we forget that true healing is mind, body, spirit, is all of us. In Jesus Christ Heals, Charles Fillmore said, to be healthy is natural. It's natural. It's a state of being sound or whole in mind, body, and soul. To heal, then, is to bring forth the perfect Christ man that exists within each of us. And it goes on to say, the spirit of health is always right at hand, awaiting an opportunity to enter in, to make the whole and harmonize all discords in the body. So when we talk about health and healing and wholeness, we remember that it's not just about our physical bodies, it's a process of spirit. From scripture, Psalm 30, verse 2, it says, Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. So when we experience or are in need of a healing, whether it is through our body, our minds, our spirit, whatever's going on for us, remember, we call out, and we know that God is always present. And from Luke 10:19, this was when Jesus had sent out 72 of his followers. We always hear about the 12 disciples. Well, there were many men and women that he continued to call forth and to send them out to go into the villages. And what he said to them is, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. We have with us today an amazing spiritual holistic healer who will be sharing about that opportunity and that process. And I'd like to say just a few words about Dr. Saul Shea. He was a chiropractor for 18 years in a full-time practice. He has now been a spiritual healer for 37 years. He was a former vice president of the Spiritual Healers Association of America and the author of the books He Who Walks on Two Worlds, The Double E Diet, and The Bigger Little Book of Miracles. Dr. Shea has lectured in 8 different countries and for over 250 different Unity churches in the U.S., Canada, and Great Britain. For the last 14 years, he's worked with the National Football League as a spiritual healer and has worked on over 80 players and coaches with 22 different teams. And we have him right here with us today in all his magnificent spiritual essence and presence. And we are so grateful, Dr. Saul Shea, to have you with us. Without further ado.
Thank you. Good morning. My talk this morning is called A Funny Thing Happened on My Way to Disprove God. I grew up in a ghetto in Brooklyn, New York. Did you ever think that God was ignoring you? Did you ever think that maybe God wasn't ignoring you, but maybe you weren't listening? There was a story I read about a man would go to church every Sunday with his wife, and as soon as the minister would start to speak, he'd fall asleep. Well, one Sunday he's there with his wife, the minister starts to speak, he falls asleep. When he wakes up, he sees his wife walking down the aisle. So he gets up and he follows her down the aisle. When the wife sees him, she turns around and whispers to him, go back to your seat. I'll tell you later. Seems that the minister had asked all the women who wanted to be better mothers to come down front for a special blessing. Yes, maybe God is speaking. Maybe you're not listening. You know, growing up in an inner city ghetto, can be hard to open up to spirituality. Even though I went to religious school for 8 years, I was more like the little boy who came home from Sunday school, and the mom said, "So what'd you learn today?" And the little boy said, "Well, we learned about Moses and how he took the slaves out of Egypt. They came to a big river, built a big bridge, and went into the promised land." And the mom said, "Are you sure that's the way the teacher told the story?" And the little boy said, "Well, if I told you what the teacher said, you'd never believe it." So I was like that little boy. It was very hard for me to believe these things. So by the time I reached college, I used to call myself an advanced atheist. What's an advanced atheist? That's a person who thinks he doesn't believe in God, but he also wants to argue with everybody who says that they do. Well, fortunately for me, God had plans for me. And on one cold November evening in 1967, I was on my motorcycle for my 30-minute ride home from Brooklyn College. 5 minutes away from my parents' house, all of a sudden there was a steel wall right in front of me. And before I could avoid it, I crashed into a disabled trailer truck that had been abandoned on the highway in the fog with no lights on. Now, I didn't black out and go into a tunnel and see the light. Instead, I found myself in the street, bleeding profusely and in a lot of pain. Strangely enough, I didn't have any fear at the time. All I could think of is my life is meaningless. Let's just get it over with. I think that's when Spirit looked down and said, "I think we need to teach the boy what it's all about." So an ambulance came, took me to a big city emergency room. The doctors did some suturing of the deep cuts, ran some tests. And then at 3 a.m. in the morning, they came back into the room and said, "Look, all the bleeding has stopped. You don't have any major injuries. Here's a pair of crutches. You can go." So as I limped out of the hospital, I said, things are going to be different. I felt like my life had been given back to me. And I thought nothing was ever going to be the same again. Now, the doctors in the emergency room said I'd never run again, and I was the captain of the Brooklyn College track team. Well, I didn't believe it. I rode away for a track scholarship. So I rode away to Florida and Louisiana. Both schools accepted me. I had a lot of relatives in Florida. I had none in Louisiana. I chose Louisiana. I knew that I wanted to be on my own. I didn't want family looking over my shoulder telling me what to do, what not to do. Now, when I got there, I was limping, and the track coach said, "Well, watch this." And I said, "Not to worry." For some reason, I had absolute faith that I was going to heal completely. Well, within 6 weeks of getting there, I was running as fast as I did before the accident. A few months later, I was talked into entering a weightlifting contest, at which time I hurt my low back. That injury persisted for the next 3 years right into graduate school. Finally, a chiropractor helped. I decided to become a chiropractor. Off to Davenport, Iowa, I go. One day, a classmate tells me he's going to go to a workshop to hear a clairvoyant speak. So what did I say? I said, "If you're that gullible, I better go with you to protect you." Because I thought that was just nonsense. Well, instead of protecting my friend, I started sensing something which I couldn't explain. So for 3 years, I kept on looking for answers. And finally, in 1975, I picked up a book which changed my life. That book became my Damascus Road experience. The book was the biography of Edgar Cayce, There Is a River. I was so impressed by that book that even though I was brought up in a Jewish family, was calling myself an advanced atheist, I finished reading the book and went out and joined a Southern Baptist Sunday school. I knew that I needed to study the New Testament. I was brought up with the Old Testament. Now, Cayce said that dreams could be a pathway to your higher self. Well, I've been having dreams all my life, never knew they had any meaning. All of a sudden, I had a reason to study my dreams. Since 1975, I've recorded over 18,000 of my own dreams. Now, these have given me information in almost every area of my life, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. One of the first dreams that told me something specific was a dream that told me to write an article on cancer. Well, I woke up and I said, I'm not going to write that. I said, I'm a chiropractor. Who wanted to read an article on cancer written by a chiropractor? Well, my conscience wouldn't leave me alone. So finally, after 2 weeks, I said, okay, I'll write it, but no one's going to print it. I sent it into the newspaper as an editorial, and they wrote it. Now, anytime you have a major question in your life and you're not sure of the answer, the guidance is write it out on a pad by your bedside, and before you go to bed, pray for guidance. So I wrote on my pad, should I write any more articles? Well, a few weeks later, I got my answer in a dream. In the dream, I was a gunfighter back in the Old West. And in this gun battle, my opponent reached for his holsters to draw out his six guns. I reached for my holsters, drew out two pencils, and shot him. I knew that the power of the lead of my pencils was more powerful than the lead of his six guns, so I kept on writing. Ended up writing another 18 articles for newspapers and journals, and eventually my dream book, He Who Walks on Two Worlds. But just like that, dreams have given me insights into so many different areas of my life. I was a competitive bodybuilder back in the 1970s. I was so headstrong with my workouts, I used to say, if work gets in the way of my workouts, I'm going to have to get rid of work. Well, fortunately for me, I placed fourth in Mr. Louisiana 1979 on a day when I shouldn't have. There were four men in the audience who could have beaten me that day who didn't want to compete that day. So I took the trophy and I said, God, thank you for the trophy. It's enough. I cut back my workouts. Now I just do it for fun and for health. A few days later, I had a dream in which a teacher said, now that you've put in competition behind you, we can get on and do some important work with your life. The healing started the next year. See, sometimes we hold on to certain things in our life so tightly that we prevent ourselves from receiving our highest spiritual good. And this is probably something everybody should ask themselves. Is there something I'm holding on to so tightly that it's preventing me from receiving my highest spiritual good? Another question I had was, where should I set up my clinic? I was very impressed with holistic centers opening up in California, so I wrote that out on my pad, and I had a dream which gave me some insights. In the dream, I was a little baby in a crib. I was about an inch big, so I was really tiny. In another crib, there's a big baby running around the crib, and he's about 3 feet tall. A voice said, he can move because he's bigger. When you two are bigger, you two can move. I knew the dream was telling me that I needed to stay right there in Monroe, Louisiana, and when the time was right, I would be led forth. Now, do you believe that you're a unique spiritual being? Do you believe that you came here on a mission? I believe those things. So after 13 years of not wanting to do the healing, I finally said, God, you win. I gave away the clinic and started lecturing and doing the healing full time. Now, it's interesting that the first time I had a major spiritual dream, I was embarrassed to record it. This is quite unusual in the sense that I've had numerous triple X-rated dreams, and I've recorded all of them. But my first major spiritual dream, I was embarrassed. And people would say, wait a second, how can you be embarrassed by a spiritual dream? Well, I'm the youngest of six. My oldest brother's an accountant. The next brother's a physicist. Then there's my sister who's a nurse. The next brother is a chiropractor who followed me into chiropractic. And then there's another brother who's a psychologist. In the dream, a spiritual teacher comes to me and says, do you want to come with me on the spiritual path? Or do you want to go with these doctors on the path of great wealth? And my mind went, money. But then I said, no, I want to go with you. And as soon as I said that, it seems like all the cares of the world just fell off my shoulders. And they brought me into a new room and started pulling out a second skin. And it started hurting. And I said, stop it, you're hurting me. And they went, eh. They completely pulling out this new skin until it completely covered my entire body. I then found myself back at my parents' house in Brooklyn. And I said, why are they looking at me the same way? Can't they see that I've been changed? But the voice said, no, they can't tell. The new skin fits perfectly over the old. So people would say, why would you be embarrassed by that dream? I was embarrassed by the dream because I thought that somehow someone in the family would find out I would choose spirit over wealth. I found that very threatening at the time. But the more I thought about the dream, I said, you know, that's not a bad dream. My family already thinks I'm a little bit strange. I think if you walk your talk, people will come to accept you for who you are. Also, if you remember in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus didn't say, forget about money. He said, choose God first, and then will everything else be added to you. Now, my first major dream on spiritual healing occurred 1981 after my first visit to the Findhorn Foundation in northern Scotland. I had a dream that I was in a church. I came out of the church, and there was a gate with a lock on it. I made the sign of the cross and said, in the name of the Christ, and the lock opened. And then a voice said, look at that, we have Christ in our midst. And I said, no, I'm no one. I'm here to help him manifest the Christ. Thought it was a great dream. I didn't know what to do with it. I'm at an Edgar Cayce Holistic Health Seminar in Phoenix, and we're discussing dreams. I mentioned this dream, and a woman says, well, you're a chiropractor. Why don't you make the sign of the cross over someone's spine and see what would happen? And I said, well, nothing's going to happen. It's just a dream. And she said, humor me. Well, I checked the person's spine, checked their leg length, made the sign of the cross and said, in the name of the Christ, and their spine leaped into place. Needless to say, that got my attention. When you see something happen and you realize you didn't do it, even if you was trained as a physician, as a way of getting your attention. Now, if it was strictly the spine I was seeing respond to spiritual healing, I might have theorized, well, maybe I was influencing it somehow because I was trained as a chiropractor. But it wasn't just the spine. It was all kinds of things. I was very glad when I spoke at the Big Unity Church in Atlanta that an oncologist came to the workshop because it's been very difficult to get documentation from medical doctors. Well, this oncologist referred one of his patients to me who had a massive tumor in her uterus. I worked with her. 6 weeks later, she went back to the oncologist, and then she called me to tell me that the tumor was completely gone. Another case that had good documentation was down at Key West, Florida, at the Unity Church. A lady had AIDS for many years with a T-cell count of 350. 2 days after a healing session, she went and had her blood work redone. It was 770, back in the normal range. She said, if this can help your work, here's all the documentation. Or seeing a lady in a wheelchair at Unity of Fort Myers, Florida, with degenerative disc disease, and she showed me her lateral lumbar X-ray, which showed no disc spacing in the low back, so it was crushing the nerves going down her legs. She asked for healing. I worked with her. The following month, she was feeling so much better. She had her low back re-X-rayed, and the new X-ray showed disc spacing on the low back. Within 6 months, it was a 99% recovery. She was out of the wheelchair and back at work as a nurse. Or seeing a dog so arthritic he was carried in because any moving created a whelp of pain. And the next day, the lady called the church and said, my dog's running around the yard with no sign of discomfort at all. Or seeing two people, elderly with blood pressure over 180, who did a phone healing. In both cases, they went back to their MD who said, that's the best it's been in years. Whatever you're doing, keep it up. So all these amazing physical things. But spiritual healing is not just physical. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and carry burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and meek in my heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is pleasant and my burden is light. So I think what Jesus was saying is anywhere in your life that you're stuck, come to God and ask for help. And it can be physical, it can be emotional, it can be mental. When I spoke at the Unity Church in Naples, Florida, A man came to me today after I went and saw his wife. And he said, what did you do to my wife yesterday? And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, for many years she had so much anger at her mother, she used to say, if I ever mentioned her mother, she would divorce me. He said, you come and work on her. She comes home and starts speaking about her mother. And then he started smiling and said, whatever you gave her, I want some of it. It's seeing relationships healed. At Unity of Bellevue in Washington State, a lady came and asked for relationship healing between her and her husband. And I said, you know, I can't work on him without his permission, but I can do a relationship healing from your point of view. The next day she called the church. She was crying. She said, last night, my husband held me for the first time in 5 years. She said, how is it possible? And I told her, with the healing, you became a new person. As you became a new person, you gave off a new vibration, and he thereby reacted differently. Now, sometimes people ask things of me that I don't think can be done. So sometimes I have to give myself what I call a mental smack, which is saying, okay, get clear, get neutral. So the first time I had a Unity minister from Unity of Dallas call and ask for financial healing for the church, and I said to Grace Merrick, can we do that? She said, well, you're not doing it. God's doing it. I said, right. I said, okay, get clear. Gave her the financial healing for the church. 2 days later, she called me back, and she said, you know, the bookkeeper went in and found $800 they had overlooked. Instant manifestation. So all these amazing things, physical, emotional, mental, pets, finances, what's the purpose of spiritual healing? In John 9:1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus' answer, neither, but to give glory to God. Yes, sometimes the answer for spiritual healing is just that simple, to give glory to God. Yes, a funny thing happened on my way to disprove God. I didn't disprove God. I found God. Thank you.